Welcome, my name is Andreas Hansen. I work as a Qt developer. And I'll get right to it because there's 30 minutes and I've got quite a lot of slides. I'm going to talk about graphics here, how it works, some optimizations that we've done. I'll show a little demo on how things are going to go much faster in 4.5, and I'll hope that to give you an idea of both how it works and what's going on. So I'll start with talking about how the widget works, how graphics view works, how the changes in the scene, how changes in items end up as repaints, and then I'll talk about some of the work we've done in optimizations, some of the noticeable breakthroughs that we've done, and also a little bit about the future. So I'll start with the architecture. Many people know this, some people feel unsure about it. This is how an update basically ends up as a pain to that. Qt widget update is a function that posts an update request to the Qt kernel, and somewhere in the event loop, all the little exposed regions are compressed into one pain to that gets delivered to the widget. In graphics here, it's basically the same, there's one extra level of indirection. So a graphics item, when it calls update, there's a little request that goes to the scene. The scene collects all those requests and sends them to the view, and the view sends those to the viewport. So when a widget paints inside QWidget PaintNet, then you construct a painter and point it to this. And the painter uses the paint engine to draw. So that's basically how an item, when it wants to do something, ends up with asking for a repaint, and the paint event constructs a painter, and the paint engine of the paint device ends up actually drawing onto the viewport. And it does so by asking the items to paint. I'm just trying to sort of remove some of the feeling that somebody has that there's a lot of magic and a lot of weirdness going on inside graphics here, but it's really pretty straightforward. Now, all the different widgets, paint events, are collected. They're drawn by the paint engine into the backing store. And the backing store then blitz into the window area, like on X11 there's a window surface. Or alternatively, you can paint directly onto the window surface if you want. If you set no background or paint on screen, you can draw directly to the X window. Now, on the left-hand side, it's the inheritance diagram for Qt Graphics View. Graphics View inherits a scroll area, and the scroll area has a viewport, and Graphics View's paint event draws onto the viewport. So the viewport is replaceable. You can call Qt widget, but it's supposed to say Qt Graphics View, in abstract scroll area. You can replace the viewport. So if you replace it with a QGL widget, then everything in Graphics View is rendered using OpenGL without changing the items or any of the other parts. And the way that Graphics View actually draws onto the viewport, the Qt Graphics View paint event The Graphics View installs an event filter on the viewport. So when the viewport gets a paint event, the paint event actually goes to Qt Graphics View. So when you construct the painter in Graphics View, you construct it onto the viewport, and that's how you draw. And that's how that works. Now, Graphics View, every Graphics View has got an association with the scene. Several views can be associated with the same scene, and inside of the scene, there's a hierarchy of items, which can be perfectly flat, like in the chip demo, or it can be very, very complex. And same slide again. This is how the items basically end up as in the paint event. So on this diagram, I've illustrated three items. There's a green parent, there's a blue child, and there's a red child. And this is how you can stack items on top of each other using parents and children. And children are stacked on top of parents, but they're not clipped to the parent by default, so you can have children that are outside of the parent. And whenever an item moves, then it has to be redrawn at the new location, and wherever it was gets re-exposed. So there's an expose area that's left behind when an item moves. Of course, if you move the green parent, the children will follow. And both the parents and the children will leave a trail of exposed area which needs to be redrawn. So every time you move the item, unless you get a repaint, there's going to be a trail of exposed areas around. Now that exposed area, right in this presentation, it's illustrated as an exact trace of the shapes themselves. So you could imagine that there would be an expose sent to the view. View would issue a repaint, and you would get a region, an exposed region in the paint event, which is an exact, accurate outline of the shapes that need exposure, so that only what's been exposed needs to be redrawn. But in practice, the accurate regions are extremely slow. I mean, queue regions of paths that with curves in general are really slow, because a queue region in the bottom is really just a list of rectangles, a list of spans. So you can imagine that if you have a round region, what you really have is a list of spans like this, right? And clipping to that is pretty expensive, as well as trying to find out what items are in that area exactly is also very expensive. So if you have a perfect exposure calculation, then you absolutely minimize the redraw of that of the unchanged background. I mean, if you have a very inaccurate expose area, then there's the trade-off is that then you'll always be redrawing a little bit from areas that haven't really changed. So you'll be redrawing stuff that's the same. So because of that, in QGraphics view, there's different update modes, and if you move an item, we can trace updates by using the bounding rect of all the changes. We can do a full update, meaning that whatever changes, we don't do an exposure calculations. We'll just redraw the entire view always, which for games where there's full screen motion makes a lot of sense. We can turn off updates completely and do it yourself. Basically, whatever happens in the scene, nothing's going to get updated, nothing's going to get redrawn, and it's up to you to plug in your own exposure calculation or whatever. And there's also a flag that's called Smart Viewport Update Mode, which tries to balance, you know, having a lot of small updates versus having a bounding rect update in runtime. So the item has a shape and it has a bounding rect. And the bounding rect is really nice for exposure calculation because it's a not too bad estimation of the area that the item will cover. But whereas the shape, on the other hand, is a painter path. So that's the exact, you know, curvy, perfect outline of the item. Typically, the shape is used for collision detection, and the bounding rect is used for exposure. And you know, the shape of a letter S is, it doesn't have many elements in it, but if you convert that to an exposed region, then it's ridiculously slow. So you don't want to do that. And of course, lines. There's a line item, and lines are the worst case, especially perfectly diagonal lines are the worst case trade-off between a bounding rectangle and a shape. Because the shape, I mean, the ratio between the bounding rect surface and the line surface is almost infinitely large. So clearly, bounding rects are suboptimal for lines. But I mean, a line, what is a line? A perfectly diagonal polygon consisting of two segments is also a line, and an ellipse which has a height of 0.1, you know, or an ellipse that has no fill, it's a curve, it's a line that goes around like that. The entire inside isn't drawn, but the bounding rect still covers a lot more than the actual line. So here, if you move an item, then you know, even though what you're actually moving is very little, the exposure becomes pretty bad. And the solution to that, well, look at that. So, yeah, every time I try to make shapes with like brush fills or something, there's exposed bugs in OpenOffice. So, that sort of ruins the neatness. That was actually a pretty cool diagram, but okay. So there's something called graphics item bounding region. So you can opt in, you can set the bounding region granularity on an item. By default, the granularity is zero, which means that whenever we calculate exposures, we just take the bounding rect and say that's it. if you set the granularity to be 1, then we'll use the exact pixel perfect exposed region, which is then slow maybe. But if you're drawing like a real, if you're rendering some sort of a Mandelbrot in the background, then maybe when you're moving that line, it's actually cheaper to do the pixel perfect exposure than it is to redraw unnecessary parts. And this works for both line items and polygons and ellipses and sparse items and donuts. So if you set the granularity to be 0.5, then it'll choose, from what I can recall, you'll get 2 times 2 pixels for each logical unit. What it basically means is that the exposed region will use blocks that are 2 times 2 in size. If you set the granularity to be lower, then the blocks will be larger, it'll be a little bit cheaper. So this is a nice way of optimizing exposures for items like this. And I don't think that there's another canvas that has a feature like this, actually. Then there's the BSP tree. For static scenes, splitting up the scene into a binary space partitioning speeds up lookups, it changes the lookup from being linear to being binary. And it's access aligned. And the reason for that is that if, like Doom or Quake or these games, they use perfect partitioning, meaning that they actually spend an exhausted amount of time on trying to find out what's the optimal way of segmenting space. But we don't have that time because this is done in real time. So we just fixate the whole tree and say that this is the binary tree and here it is. It has a fixed depth and a fixed extent. So if you have a scene like a chip demo or like here where there's a lot of items that need to be redrawn, or there's a lot of items and only a little part of it needs to be redrawn, and a sequential scan works for some things, you can do a sequential scan. If you have more than, say, 102 or 200 items, already it starts being really, really painful. So the binary search basically cuts down this whole thing to be binary. Binary tree makes it into a binary search. And BSP tree indexing gives you fast lookups. The overhead and the implementation is very low. It's as low as 32 bits, one word per item. It's very low. Now the update is very slow, meaning if you want to move an item which is in the index, it has to be removed from the index, moved and added again. Now we're working on trying to find out a little bit smarter way of doing this than to give you like the best of both worlds, but right now that's how it works. The other thing with the BSP tree is that every single item is stored, regardless of parent-child relationships, individually as nodes in the tree. The good thing about that is that if you have like a very complex item, which is 19 levels of parents and children, and you want to render a leaf, then that's just as fast as rendering the leaves. So if you're scrolling a large scene and all that, it's still going to be fast. The bad thing is that if you move that root, then you have to move every single child out of the BSP tree too. So every single child gets removed, remove the parent, every single thing gets added again. So clearly, BSP trees are not good for moving items. The other thing is there's a flag that's called item clips children to shape. And in 4.4, there's a problem with that, which is gone now in 4.5, and I'll show you why. Child clipping in graphics view is upside down. It's the opposite compared to QWidget. Because in QWidget, if you draw too much, it'll get clipped. So you're only allowed to draw inside the widget, right? If you make your own custom widget, and you draw this huge ellipse, then you only see a little segment of it. In graphics view, if you draw too much, you drew too much. It's all over the place. So you're allowed to draw whatever you want. And the reason that we've chosen that approach instead of QWidget's approach is because not clipping is cheaper than clipping, and you can always clip yourself if you want to. And usually, I would claim that with very few exceptions, most items never draw outside of the region. 10 minutes? So I'll speed up. I won't explain why. If you enable the flag called item clips children to shape, then every descendant of that item will be clipped to the item's shape. And in 4.4, only the painting is clipped, from what I can recall. And in 4.5, everything is clipped. So collision detection, mouse events, hover events, everything is clipped. But the items aren't gone. Actually, if there's a lot of children, then they're still around. And they're also in the BSP tree for no particular reason. other than the fact that every item is in the BSP tree, regardless of that flag. Which brings me into the optimizations part. So recently, somebody came and knocked on our door, ours as in Trolltech, and put a couple of devices on the table, and they said, Qt is really slow on these devices, and you know how it feels when you're doing profiling. Somebody shows you a profile, regardless of what, if something takes up 90% and it looks silly, then you need like restraints to not jump in front of the computer and start hacking on that little thing and get it away. And that's in a sense like a positive thing that's happened from this whole acquisition business, that they pointed at a couple of places and they said, why is that slow? And now everybody in, like, we're five or six people that are just hammering away at optimizations now. And all of the work that we're doing is coming for free in 4.5 for you guys. Most graphics view applications use the parent-child mechanism. They don't layer all the items flat and use stacking order to define the sibling order. They use parents and children because it's a powerful mechanism. Coordinates propagate from parent to child. Many operations depend on coordinate mapping. There's different coordinate systems, right? And in particular, if you want to map coordinates from one item to another, from one item to the scene, then you need to multiply transforms. So you take the transformation from one item, multiply it by the parent, by the parent, by the parent, by the parent, all the way up to the scene. And there's a lot of places in graphics too, where we call scene bounding rank and scene transform these functions that propagate all the way up to the scene. This is one example. If there's a BSP tree and somebody moves an item, actually one optimization that we've done is that it temporarily goes into a list of items that have not been indexed. And if the item stops and doesn't move for 2 seconds, we put it in. That means that if there's a BSP tree and one item keeps moving around, then it's always outside the BSP tree. But we call item scene bounding rank on that item, which defies the purpose of the BSP tree sort of. When you render, every time before you render an item, you have to find out what the transform for that item is. So you call scene transform, which is also walking all the way up to the top. When you do clipping, so the clipping implementation we have in 4.4 is sort of has room for improvement, because on top of all the walking up to the parent, this one does a second walk up to the parent, but it intersects shapes all the way up, which is bad. When you're generating style options for an item, we walk all the way up to the parent. And so the scene transform function is a recursive function that calls the parent scene transform function. And it multiplies transforms, and our Q transform multiply function is pretty complex. Now, Lars has done, waved his magic wand. He looked at that thing and he was like, hey, translating a matrix is just like dx and dy, right? And most transforms are pretty simple, so he special pastes some of the combinations, like rotate plus translate plus rotate, scale plus translate, and all that. And he eliminated every single real multiplication for the translate-only case, which is the case for a lot of applications. So how we did it before, with a scene of 8 items, 4 levels of stacking. Item number 4 needs to be drawn, 4 multiplications, 8. 11, 15, 19, 23. Now, 23 multiplications of Q transform for a scene which is 8 items, and 621 double operations, which especially on embedded devices is a killer. And on top of that, the clipping flag, which intersects all these shapes with perfect, mathematically perfect intersections, and totally useless. So we were profiling this thing, and we found out that we need this function. It was unrelated, but we needed a function which could map coordinates from any one item to another. Or return, rather, the transform that gives you a map from one to the other. And this one is extremely fast. If the target and the source are like immediate siblings or immediate parent-child or aunts and uncles and all that stuff. And of course, the way that the items are drawn is in stacking order, which means that, hey, the items happen to actually be drawn right after each other, the parent and then the child, or the sibling and then the sibling. These items aren't drawn arbitrarily, they're more drawn in a very well-defined order. So what if we replace the scene transform call with the item transform call and just keep the last transform around and see what happens? And the thing is that it goes from being an n log n traversal to being almost linear. And the speedups are quite tremendous. So could this help us with clipping? Well, if an item which clips the children is always drawn before as children, then instead it could just set the clip, apply relative transforms, and then draw the children, and when you're done, remove it. So don't calculate the intersect at all, just set it once. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 11. Eight items, 11 transforms with the deep stack. So it's close to linear. A number of double operations in this test case could have been zero if the role translate only, translates only. So that's pretty wicked. So, Q44 in release mode, 441. There's 250 items that are clipped to one big gray parent, and each of the 250 items have got 250 children. All of the children that are clipped are in the global BSP tree entries, right? Now, redrawing the scene takes 2 seconds. And 4-5. So this is hopefully giving you an idea what's coming up in 4-5. We're adding an animation API. If you're interested, come talk to us. I'll be on the Plasma list, so you can keep track of what's going on. We're adding features for new fancy graphics, whether that'll be 4.5, 4.6, 4.7, we're not sure, but we'd like to add support for blurring, blooming, soft shadow effects, opacity, and these things, so that they can be done like very low overhead and hopefully using hardware. And we also have plans to extend our UI format, the good old .UI format that everybody knows. It would be nice if we could extend that with support for something which looks a little bit more like what today's other toolkits use, with transitions and states, scripting, and so on. And it's all looking pretty exciting. So, thank you. We have time for questions. Fire away. So will the UI changes allow us to serialize Plasma outputs? I talked a little bit to Aaron about this, but not a whole lot. And to be fair, we don't have everything clear right now ourselves either. But once we have something which is a little bit more concrete than right now, we'll talk to you guys. I mean, we don't want to step on anybody's toes when we're making this thing. We'd rather think that maybe what we're making could actually be used as a way to design any kind of apps. Oh, and another thing is that we'd like to add support for designing scenes. Because right now you can only design widgets, right? Yeah. Plasmoids included.
One more question?
Okay. So I could say one, yeah, okay, yeah.
Is there a relation in speed up that 2D graphic cards are doing and the geometry now?
Is there a relationship between like vector graphics, hardware support, stuff that's going on and what we're doing? If I put it like this, if graphics cards come out with accelerated VG, we'll be onto it, we'll be working on it, and it'll become available. That's the only thing. That's how we usually think that, you know, if it's there and it can make graphics faster, then we'll start using it. We are already looking at some stuff and internally, so we'll see what the future holds. Now, there's one thing I wanted to say. There's a group of people who've done some benchmark with it, compared GraphicsView with KGA Canvas, with Evas and other stuff and all that. And I've been sitting together with these guys, and we've been doing some profiling, and we found out that with 4.5, the situation is quite different than what it's been in 4.4. Just so you know. Okay.